good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand and grab a hymn book, let's turn to page 150. Let's sing all three verses of He Lives.
I serve the risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to me.
I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me among life's narrow way. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. The God who is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
Jesus Christ, the King of glory, God, lives within you. Have that hope, have that assurance. What a confidence that is ours because of Christ and only because of Him. Well, it's good to be here today. Good to be with you. Good to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's good to have visitors with us as always. And so we're grateful that God is pleased to send you our way. And we don't take that lightly. We realize that you could be in many places that God brought you here. And so we want you to know that we appreciate you and want to minister to you for God's glory and your good. What we want to do right now, though, is shake some hands. Church family, please get around and make your give your welcomes to our visitors today. Let's do it.
Thank you.
would remain standing and turn to page 44. Page 44. We'll sing the first and second verse. That's all there is. Sing with me.
The burden of sin has been lifted as far as the east is from west. They're buried without a remembrance in God's sea of forgetfulness. I've been to Calvary's mountain. My name is written above. When Satan railed accusations, I tell them they're under the blood. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Christ did for me what I could not do. They're under the blood. Just like the Passover in Egypt's land, it took the blood to save man. Washed and made clean, I'm justified. When God sees the blood, the prophets of old line the home shores. Their faith through the ages doth ring. They're waited so long for the moment, the crowning of Jesus the King. There's Daniel, Elijah, and Noah. They talk of the fire and the flood. And if they ask how I made it, I'll tell them I came through the flood. They're under the flood. They're under the flood. Christ did for me what I could not do. They're under the flood. Just like the Passover in Egypt's land, it took the blood to save man. Washed and made clean, I'm justified, I'm washed in the blood.
Amen. You may be seated.
Oh,
that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Please stand again and let's turn to page 78. I love that song.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Don't forget to shout that victory, all right? On the last.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, now we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Be seated.
Well, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to see this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. The ladies' fellowship is this Tuesday in the pastor's class at 7 o'clock. Got a missionary, Simon Jacob, going to be here on the 25th to present his field in Pakistan. Teachers meeting January 27th. That is all Sunday school teachers and Wednesday night teachers. We'll be having our teachers meeting. I guess you'd call this a quarterly meeting is what we try to have them at. And it's going to be Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And see Brother Chuck if there's any more information you'd like to know about that. The Friends in Faith class, they will be having a class party on the 13th from 6 to 8. Please see Miss Sherry Davison. If there's any questions on that, we're having a youth rally on February 21st. And last Sunday night we had a little meeting. If you was not able to attend that and would like to help me with that, just come see me and let me know. And I'm sure we can find something for you to do. Let's see, personal growth seminar. Preacher, I'll let you announce more about that here just a little bit. You know a little more about that than I do. More information coming. There we go. And Miss Sandra needs some help with passing out getting some Valentine's ready for our homebound, our shut-ins, for those who can't make it, you know, here on a regular basis like they'd like to. And see her about making up some Valentines, and she'll get in, well, just see Miss Sandra. She'll tell you all the information that we need to know about that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, right now, we're asking to be at the offering about to receive and be at the gift and the giver, Lord. Lord, but mostly, Lord, please, Lord, be at the preacher. Hide him behind the cross and give him the words you want him to say, Lord. And please prepare our hearts, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
saw his wife sit in the garden. In the distance, God saw a cross. When Cain killed his brother, God was watching, and God saw a cross. When Moses slew the Egyptian man in anger, God saw a cross. And when David chose Bathsheba over honor, God knew there had to be a cross. God saw a cross being raised on the horizon. God saw his son being slain for one and all. God saw his blood being shed for our redemption. For every fall, God saw a cross.
Certainly goes with what the passage of Scripture that we opened with this morning in Luke chapter 24. You find your place there. Dealing with God's power for God's people in these days, emphasizing that theme for this year of 2015 at Metropolitan Baptist Church. This morning we'd like to focus in on and emphasize the necessity, the absolute necessity to have God's power. If you found your place there in Luke 24, please would you stand with me in reverence to the good Word of God. Beginning to read in verse 36. It says there, of course, this is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples are gathered together. It says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. They were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see Me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. Of course, verifying to the hearts of His disciples that it was indeed He that He said He was. He was indeed alive, that One who had laid down His life for them. And He said unto them in verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning Me." Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, just as all the prophecies were to be fulfilled concerning Him, this too is to be fulfilled. And thus it behooved Christ, it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You saw, you experienced, you've been at My side all these years." In verse 49, He says, "And behold, I send the promise of My Father unto you, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Father, we bow before You once again, thanking You for Your Word, thanking You, Father, that You will accomplish what You say You will, that You will do what You say You will do. And Father, we're here today to rejoice in that. We're here to be instructed in that. We're here, Father, to be empowered that we might serve You for Your glory. I'd ask You, Lord, add Your blessing to Your Word today. Open our eyes. Open our understanding as You did the disciples so long ago, that we might understand, that we might indeed be prepared and enabled for the work that You have for us. We love You, Lord. We pray the binding of the wicked one. They have no place to enter in here today to hinder or to steal truth from precious hearts. Ask You, Father, in Jesus' name, for anyone that may be within these walls today without Christ, please, Lord, might today, this day, be the day of salvation for those ones. We love You. Oh my, we thank You. We rejoice in Your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Reading this passage, we come to the obvious conclusion that God had a plan then, and He has a plan now for His disciples, for His people. He concludes His instruction, as we've read here, with a statement concerning that commission that He had for them, to the first church, the church of Jerusalem. And that commission concerned the preaching of the gospel, the delivering of the life-changing, soul-cleansing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a message of repentance, the message of forgiveness of sins. And as we read here, it was to be preached to all nations. It was a message that would begin there in that city, the city of Jerusalem, and then be taken to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's possible, you know, again, talking about this commission, talking about evangelism, and I'm concerned at times that maybe God's people, even churches like this one, may grow weary of the preacher continuing to encourage this matter of evangelism. But I read this morning early, and I don't know who exactly first said this. It doesn't attribute it to a particular author. But I read this, and I quote, "It is easy to determine when something's aflame. It's not hard to figure out when something's on fire. It ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out." And he likens, the author likens this then. He says, a church without evangelism is a contradiction in terms. Just as a fire that does not burn is a contradiction. A church that does not have a burden for the lost, a church that is not actively seeking to see folks saved, is a very contradiction of what we are. We're to be in Christ. In verse 49, the Lord Jesus informs His disciples that He will send the promise of the Father. That promise would to be come upon them. But He instructed them that they must remain, they must wait there in the city of Jerusalem until they had received it. That promise, as we read, would be the very power of God for God's people to fulfill God's plan. And I might add, God's way. That promise was the power to accomplish the task that God has given to us. And we see in this, that promise of power, that very promise of power in verse 49, Jesus says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." From where? From God. From glory. You see, God's promise to the church of Jerusalem was not merely a strategy. It wasn't merely a program. It was not a scheme for somehow accomplishing the work that He had for them to do. No, beloved. The promise was a person. The promise was the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit of God was the very promise that the Lord Jesus was referring to here. In Acts chapter 1, as we go on today, you'll see that Acts chapter 1, that first half of the chapter, is sort of an overlay to this passage here in Luke 24. Luke, of course, the author of both of them. And we see him as we go now to Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 and 5, where he is reiterating what we have recorded here in Luke. In Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 and verse 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them," is that not what was taking place? The Lord Jesus Christ with them, "He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, ye have heard of me." Now listen. Verse 5 then goes on to explain a bit. He says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Wait for that promise. And what was that promise to be? The Holy Spirit of God. The promise. This promise was given in order for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill the task that He had for them. God had His purpose. God had His plan for them. And the promise would enable them to accomplish that. That promise would empower them for that work. What was the nature of that power? What was the nature of that power? And again, remember, the power that God gives to us, the power that God endues upon us, is a power to enable. A power to so energize us to accomplish His work. It's a power that will work in and through us to accomplish that work that He's speaking of. What is His primary work? What is the primary work that the Lord Jesus Christ had given to His disciples? The proclamation of the gospel. The proclamation of the gospel in and every situation that we may find ourselves in. This power was to enable us that wherever we are and whatever we're doing, to be able to be there to represent Christ for His glory and for His honor and the furthering of what He's doing. In John chapter 14, verse 26. Now listen. It says, "But the Comforter," capital C, "but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name." Again, talking about that promise. Talking about that promise that God would give to His people. He, John 14, 26 goes on to say, "He will teach you all things." He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. Wow. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit teaches the Christian everything he needs to know. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything you need to know. With that promise, though, there's an understanding that the believer will seek to learn. Someone that's truly born again wants to know. They want to learn. They want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is that thing, to desire to know Him better. And the better you know Him, guess what? The better you'll want to know Him. Learning the Word of God doesn't take place without work, without study. You can't go to bed at night with a pillow, or the Bible under your pillow, and think you're going to wake up with a theology degree. I know firsthand it didn't work. No, we have to apply ourselves to that book. We need to open it, read it, study it. Guess what? It'll bless you when you learn more about this God who's done so much for you. And if you give yourself to God's Word, guess what? He'll keep His promise and teach you. He will fulfill His promise to you and teach you. Don't give up. Oh my, I don't understand this. Don't give up. Just keep at it. He will teach you. 2 Timothy 2:15, a verse that we memorize quite often. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Do you want to divide? The idea is you want to cut it straight. When I stand before you, I want to give you the straight scoop. You don't need to know what I think. You need to know what God says. And that's my desire. And if we give ourselves to this book, if we give ourselves to study, God promises you He'll teach you. He'll teach you. Plus, hey, there's always pluses when it comes to things of God. Plus, Jesus says here that He'll bring those things that He teaches you to His remembrance, to your remembrance. Beloved, you need to study to understand. Study to understand the principles of God's Word for your life. The better you understand God's Word and the truths of God's Word, the better you'll be equipped to have an impact on folks. When you're dealing with somebody down at the job and they're struggling or battling in this area of life, you'll be able to give them some counsel, some encouragement in that. But along with it, you'll be able to point them to Jesus. Oh my, yes. You need to study to understand those principles for life that God has given us. And God will teach you. And when you need it, He'll bring those things back. He'll bring those things to your memory, to illuminate you, to help you in those times. You know, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit of God is at work in this world. Amen. Just as God is at work, He is working in this world through His Spirit. And when you speak up, when you will speak up for Christ, He will honor that. He will use that. And it's amazing how many times along the way, and your desire is to witness to somebody, to talk to them about the Lord, and what's happening? The Lord will bring things to your heart and mind that you weren't even thinking about at the time. But there are things that God taught you along the way and sowed to your heart, and they're there. Is that reservoir, if you will, of truth for you to be able to not to minister in your own life when you need it, but also to minister to others along the way. Hey, it's called the power of God. God's power for God's people. Indeed. Indeed. Thank Him for it. Here we see this promise of the Father in its power from where? From on high, power from God. And might we say, this, beloved, is the power of God at work. We don't need to see explosions. We need to see Him daily working in our lives, enabling us, empowering us to live for Him and His glory. Hey, it's this Holy Spirit that'll take the truths of His Word, and when something we're confronted with that should throw up a red flag in our lives, hey, guess what? God and the Holy Spirit's there to say, oh no, you don't need to go that away. Excuse my bad grammar. Huh? It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work in and for us. And along with that, it's a beautiful... The Holy Spirit of God is at work. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 16. We see the reproving work of the Holy Spirit as God's been pleased to grant Him to us. In John chapter 16, verse 7, very interesting statement that the Lord Jesus Christ makes. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus says, it's a good thing that I leave. So how could that be? How wonderful it is was for the Lord Jesus to be there. No, He says, it's good for you that I leave. He says, in fact, for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. I'll send My Spirit to you. And Him not only... But as I am with you, He will be in you to lead you and direct you. And in verse 8, He says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove has the idea to convict, to convince, to convict or convince. He convicts of sin, of righteousness and judgment, we read here. Beloved, it's the Holy Spirit of God through the ministry of the Word of God. Again and again, never forget, this is tied right to the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and does what? Convicts us of our sin. Convicts us that we are indeed sinners. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ has returned to glory. He's with His Father. But the righteousness of God, the holiness, the purity, the perfect righteousness of God, it's something that can bring conviction. How's that? Because when I see myself in light of Him, oh my, convicts me of my need. And then as well, it says, John says that, or Christ says here, that it convicts of judgment. The reality, as we understand, is it says Satan is under the judgment of God. And all those of this world that die with thy Christ will be under His judgment. And so we see that ministry of the Holy Spirit of God convicting of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, and in that, beloved, convincing you and I that we need a Savior. The work of the Holy Spirit of God. God was pleased. Jesus Christ left, returned to glory, sent His Spirit here to this earth planet so that you and I would have the power to see Him work in our lives and through our lives for the glory of God. Oh my, the reproving comes. That reproving work. But we also see a directing power here still in John 16 and verse 13. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, again, tied to this, the Word of God, the truth. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Why? I'm thankful. God the Holy Spirit is here to show me Jesus. To show me this one. Here is essentially the Word of God's second witness to what we would read in John 14, 26 a little bit ago. In John 14, 26, where it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. Bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever is said unto you. And here again we read that the Holy Spirit will give that guidance. Give direction to us. Thank the Lord. God the Holy Spirit has the ability, the power to open our understanding. I'll tell you what, here's one boy that needs that. I need that. I need him to turn on the lights for me if I'm going to understand the Word of God. The problem is, we want God's truth. We want the Word of God spoon-fed to us. We want to get it all pre-digested and just give it to me. Well, but it don't work that way. It just doesn't work. Yeah, praise God for Bible teachers and those that can help us in this thing. But we got to give ourselves to this understanding of the Word of God through the power of the Spirit of God. You know, it's just this week, a dear brother told me that he had to read and reread a passage over and over again this week to get it. And I says, amen, brother. I know all about that. You would not believe how many times these past days I've read and reread and reread and then read again and a few more times what we're looking at today. Hey, I just pray and beg God, open up the windows of my understanding. Help me, Father, that I might have some bread, some food here for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, along the way, guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's always worth it when God teaches us something about Himself from His Word. Oh, yes, indeed. But when you're willing to let the Word of God settle into your heart and into your mind, the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. He'll give you understanding of Himself and of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has the power to give you far, far more than a mere head knowledge of facts and so forth about the Scriptures. He has the ability to illuminate it in such a way that it becomes a message for life and to live by. Well, then as well, it's still in this passage in John chapter 16. We see the glorifying power of the Holy Spirit. Very important, I believe, very important. You know, the Holy Spirit's not interested in drawing attention to Himself. Makes it very clear here. What's He say, verse 13? Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit's just not interested in getting glory for Himself. It's a lesson some preachers today might learn. Holy Spirit's not about getting glory for Himself. And what a tremendous example this is for us. The Holy Spirit gives us a tremendous example of how it should be for us and with us. The truth, as I read here, the truth did not originate with the Holy Spirit. He gives to us, He teaches us what He has received. Now, I understand saying that He's a member of the Godhead. He's the third person of the Trinity. And we realize that God is three in one. But even with that, we also understand that the Bible teaches that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are distinct personalities. And the Holy Spirit does not seek to get glory for Himself, but what? To exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. His goal is to exalt the One, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen again, as we just read, verse 13. It says, He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Holy Spirit says, or Jesus says, He shall glorify Me. Now, question. How does the Holy Spirit glorify Christ? How does the Holy Spirit glorify Christ? He does that by holding out the Lord Jesus Christ. By holding forth the Lord Jesus Christ to us. By teaching us about Him. By passing on to us what He has been given concerning Christ. Think about that. Again, He's an illustration. He's an example for us. How can we glorify Christ? Exact same way. The exact same way. But on top of that, God has been pleased to give us the very promise of the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, glorifies Jesus Christ through us. And as we yield and surrender our lives, hey, absolute surrender, that He might use us for His glory. Guess what? Christ is glorified. He's magnified. He's lifted up. And we have the Holy Spirit living within us to what? Empower us to do that. Thank you, Lord. Guess what? We couldn't do it on our own. But then we see as well here the postponement. The postponement of power. Back in our passage in Luke 24, is the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this promise of the Father. He challenges them. He instructs them. But tarry ye. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. We read also in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, where He said, but wait for the promise of the Father. It's important for us to realize that we cannot, first of all, we cannot take the power of the Holy Spirit for granted. It's a whole other message here, beloved. We cannot take the power of the Holy Spirit for granted. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We cannot take Him for granted. But as well, He operates as God determines that He'll operate. Oh, we'd pray for God might be pleased to pour out His Spirit in revival in these days. to restore and refresh and do a work in God's people. Hey, starting right behind Holy Desk, just like this one, across our country, to restore, hey, to restore the power to the churches of God. We pray for that, but we can't take it for granted. We have to be yielded. Be ye filled. Be ye under His control. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And we understand we cannot do God's work in our own strength. We cannot do it on our own. And besides that, we must not attempt to do God's work in our own strength. I believe there's too much of that going on in these days. Where, as we said a few weeks ago, we're depending more on man's wisdom and man's ability than the power of the Holy Spirit of God to do God's work. Remember that Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, Without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. It's good for us to remember that. It's good for us to realize that. Because when we realize that and we understand the necessity of the God power being endued, receiving and enjoying that power, we can't do anything. Cannot do anything. It was essential that disciples wait. It's essential. The disciples wait for that empowering promise of God before they endeavored to serve Him. Enthusiasm is great. Young preachers, while they all get all filled up with that enthusiasm, man, they're ready to charge hell with a thimble full of water. I mean, they're ready to take on the devil, but you better have the power of God. You better have God's undoing, His anointing. The power of God for God's people is a necessity, not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's a necessity, and we are powerless without it. But then lastly, we see the provision of power. I'm sure glad He gave it. The provision of power. It's mentioned there in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, but also in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, but ye shall. What? Ye shall receive power. Aren't you thankful God keeps His promise? Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Samaria, and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. God's power. Again, very clearly, why? So that we can be His witnesses. So we can be those that testify of Him. And what He's done for us. God's good. God is good for His promises. What He says He will do, He will do. Simple. But I got to have it simple. What He says He will do, He will do. And on the day of Pentecost, God fulfilled that promise. In Acts chapter 2, we read what took place on that day. Amazing. Amazing. It says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. They were all filled. They were endued. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. Very clear. This isn't some gibberish. Not gibberish. A language. The miracle was, it was a language that these fishermen didn't previously know. But all these folks, as we'll mention here in a moment, heard in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, verse 7, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and they're going on and on. All these ones. It goes on. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do them hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Tremendous passage, beloved. Tremendous passage that records the fulfilling of what Jesus told His disciples there in Luke 24 and in Acts chapter 1. So fulfilling of that promise. And we've looked at these verses time and again, but let me one more time rehearse verse 49 of Luke 24. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, do you be endued with power from on high. What was that power to do? It was enable them, empower them to preach the gospel. No glory for self. Holy Spirit, remember, was not there to glorify Himself. It was to preach Christ. What was the message? Verse 47 of Luke 24, and their repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. And where would it begin? At Jerusalem. And what happened on that day of Pentecost? People from this nation and that nation and this nation and that nation and over here heard the disciples preaching what? The gospel. Preaching Jesus. What's it say? Verse 11 again. We do hear them speak in our tongues. Beloved, that's what missions is all about. Taking the gospel to the languages of the world. You hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And then we go on. We won't do it. You go on and rehearse Peter's sermon that day. And what did he preach? He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. And what Jesus Christ had come to do for lost men and women. Amen. Amen. Oh, wow. Dear ones, what took place here was in direct fulfillment of what the Lord Jesus Christ had outlined in Luke chapter 24, 46, 49. It's exactly what He told them that day before He ascended back to glory. He told them what He was going to do through them, through the power that He would give them. The power of God. What's the message for us? What's the message for Metropolitan Baptist Church? Beloved, we, this church has the power of God. So, well, preacher, what do you mean? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. You have God's promise. You have the promise of God to enable you for the work that He has for each of us. And what is that work? To reach this world for Christ. Not to magnify a preacher. Not to magnify a church. But to exalt and magnify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To exalt and magnify, to lift up Jesus. That He in turn, as He promised, would draw folks to Himself. Oh my, God's power for God's people, indeed. But with the promise of God, His Holy Spirit, we can enjoy. I want to enjoy it. We can enjoy His provision to teach us. Now listen to this. It's all, again, trying to bring us back to understand it's about this book. It's exalting Christ, but we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit as we share the truth, the Word of God. Now listen to this. With the promise of God, His Holy Spirit, we can, not could, we can enjoy His provision to teach us the Word of God, enable us to use the Word of God, and experience Him, accomplish great things by the Word of God. Is that good? Oh my, it's all about our God and what He'd be pleased to do through us. It's all for Jesus Christ and His glory. God's power for God's people. Beloved, souls can be saved. Souls will be saved. Souls can and will be saved through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Huh? You and I as Christians, every believer here today, every child of God, can live and experience the power of God through His promise, the Holy Spirit. It begins that moment. It begins that moment where that reproving work took place in my life and every life here that's been changed, that's been saved. And we realize that, yes, indeed, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty before God. Convincing us that we need Jesus. And through faith, we receive Him. Oh, my. Enough of sin. Turning from sin, that repentance, and receiving Jesus Christ by faith. It all begins there. In that moment, when you receive Christ, you receive what? His promise. His promise. The Holy Spirit. Let's stand together. God's power for God's people. God's power is a necessity, not a luxury. Father, we bow before You. Lord, acknowledge that You are God this morning. You're the God of glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. Thankful for Your Word, Lord, that we can know You. And Lord, I pray, oh Lord, how we need Your Holy Spirit to teach us, enable us. Lord, we don't ever want to take Him for granted. We don't ever want to take You for granted. And Lord, we don't want to take Your Word for granted. The living Word, our Lord Jesus, nor the written Word, our Bible. And Father, I'm praying. Lord, I'm praying that maybe afresh and anew, You'd strike a hunger and a thirst in our hearts for the things of God. We'd hunger to know You better. Thirst, Father, for You to quench that thirst with Yourself. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And Father, as we grow in that understanding, grow in Christ, praying, oh God, I'm praying, I plead with You, that You might use Your Word, Your truth in our lives. Indeed, we might be those witnesses for You. Wherever we be, wherever we go, that in this course of life, this walk that You've given us, our lives would emulate Jesus. Father, I pray, oh, I plead with You, make us more like Him. Might His mind be in us. Might we humble ourselves before Thee. Yield it in such a way that we'd see You do beautiful and marvelous things in these days. Lord, I understand. We realize that outside the walls of this church house, there's countless, thousands upon thousands perishing without that hope, without that peace, without that confidence and joy that we have in Christ. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord, help us to live in His power. Promise, Your promise, We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you again for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John, a song for us.
Page 154.
We sing, beloved. Of course, I want you to sing from your hearts, but please sing with a prayer, praying that God would sow to our hearts what He wants for us today. Not just go through the exercise of being in a church service, but that we do life-changing things in all of our lives. We'd go from this church house a little more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ than when we walked in. More in love with this God who's promised us so much. Let's sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to Him now, waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at His feet lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, list to His voice, hear Him today, hear Him today. They who believe on His name shall rejoice, and away. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Amen. Amen. He's a loving Savior. Tenderly deals with us along the way, and I'm so thankful for His goodness to us. Well, it's been good. Enjoy being with you, as always. Amen. Brother John, would you come?
Let's be dismissed with our chorus. Let's just praise the Lord. If you need the words, it's inside your bulletin.
Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord.
You're dismissed.